Belshazzar tells one time, Nebuchadnezzar entered into the house. He spoke up and said these words, "There is a problem. What should a person do when before him there stands a tall mountain? This mountain is a mountain of fire. It's a tall mountain of fire in front of him. On the other side of the mountain, there lies a very precious and desirable treasure. Greatest treasure conceivable. But it is impossible to get to this treasure unless one goes right through this mountain of fire. Only way to get to that treasure by going a straight line directly through the center of that mountain of fire." Now, the problem is multiplied because the person cannot say, "No problem. I won't go through the mountain of fire. I'll do without the treasure. This is impossible." The person must get to that treasure. He doesn't have any choice in this matter. He must get to that treasure, that desirable treasure, and the only way to get to it is through that mountain of fire. These are the words that Belshazzar spoke then, and that was it. A few days later, again, Belshazzar spoke about this. He smiled, he laughed, and he said, "I've already found the answer to this question, what to do in this case." And that's the end of this paragraph. This is one of the most mysterious sayings yet. I've never found an explanation of this paragraph yet, anywheres. Surprisingly, however, it is permissible for a person to attempt to interpret this. I once mentioned what I felt was a clear, true interpretation of this paragraph, or at least one of, possibly a few. But what is very clear is that this interpretation would fit perfectly the kavana, the intention, in these words. And it would solve this problem too. It would define the terms used here. Especially, it's a story within a story. Note that the wording is, besides the problem, Belshazzar entered and spoke. Later, Belshazzar smiled, laughed, and said that he had the answer. Why are those words added? Now, this, obviously, it seems, is based on a fact the Gemara speaks about. Gemara tells us that when Mashiach comes, after Mashiach's coming, there will be, of course, a celebration. Why not? The biggest event possible, the coming of Mashiach. At the same time, there will also be a memorial meeting, a very sad assembly of all Jews, where all Jews will mourn and cry. This is what the Pasuk says in the Navi, Zechariah. At the time of Mashiach's coming, all Jews will assemble to mourn and to cry. And the Gemara says, Mashiach will come. Why should they mourn and cry then? That should be the happiest occasion possible. The Gemara answers, there are two reasons. One, because they will mourn the death of Mashiach ben Yosef. The first Mashiach, Mashiach ben Yosef, they'll mourn his death. The Pasuk says they will mourn the body who was slain by a sword. That's the wording. This body slain by a sword, this mourning period, for whom is this? Mashiach ben Yosef will be killed in the battle just before Mashiach ben David comes to take over and rule as king. Second definition, a reason given this pasuk is, the reason for mourning will be that tzaddikim and yeshuim will assemble together, and in front of their eyes, Hashem will take the Yetzirah, the Satan, and he will shecht. He will slay the Yetzirah, there, they will cry when they will see this body slain. Why will they all cry? The Gemara says, Sadikim will cry because in front of their eyes there will appear this apparition. What will the Yetzirah look like? What will this Satan look like? Like a giant-sized mountain. Why will they cry? They'll cry and say, how could we ever have been able to overcome a mountain like this in our time? We never succumbed. We never surrendered to the schemes, the wiles, the attacks of this Yetzirah. How could we have defeated this giant-sized mountain? They'll cry over it. Yerushalayim will see this Yetzirah, and to them he'll appear as a thin strand of hair. And they'll cry and bewail the fact that all their lives they gave in to this tiny little hair. They couldn't overcome the taivas, the desires, or something that is so weak and so slight. For this, they have to lose their Gan Eden. This, they have to go to Gehenna for because of something that's so infinitesimal. For this, the Yerushalayim shall cry. And this is what's meant by, you speak about Hashem will send the Jews to inherit Esav, Esav Hadosha. The Malach of Esav is the Satan, the Yetzirah, and his place, inherit his place, is called Har Seir. Har Seir, combination of Har, a mountain as far as Tzadikim are concerned, Seir, a hair as far as the Yerushalayim are concerned. This will be inherited, be destroyed and wiped out. He is a combination of both. Tzadikim, he appears as a mountain, to the Yerushalayim, he appears as a hair. We can understand why the Yerushalayim will cry. Of course they'll cry. This, they were so foolish they couldn't see the light. It's so tiny an item. They had to give away their whole future life, Chas v'Shalom. There's a lot to cry about. But why should Tzadikim cry? You could see that being amazed at the tremendous size of this Yetzirah, this Malach, this powerful angel. Fine. But they should be overjoyed. Despite the greatness of this angel, they still were able to succeed in defeating him. This is a joy. Look at the reward they have now. Answer is, Rafashim say that Tzadikim will cry because they will see this mountain and they'll realize that in truth, they did not defeat this mountain. It wasn't their act. Gemara says, no matter how much a person tries, how hard he strives to overcome the Yetzirah, this angel, this archangel, but if not for the fact that Hashem helps a tzaddikim, then surely it truly fall victim to the Yetzirah. He's not strong enough. Yetzirah is too powerful and too great. So therefore, tzaddikim will cry. The Gemara finishes with the words, "The Af Hakadosh Baruch Hu Tamayim." Hashem too will wonder with tzaddikim, will marvel how Ebeinei Hashem Yipolei. The eyes of Hashem will also be a wonder. How could they have overcome this mountain? What is the meaning of that last sentence? The answer is that tzaddikim will be very worried, will be afraid. How can they overcome this tall mountain? Mountain, not this fiery evil. Yetzirah is a malach shel esh, a mountain of fire who seeks to destroy, to inflame, to arouse a person's heart with sin. How could a tzaddik have been able to overcome this mountain? Obviously, he didn't. It was the help of Hashem. In that case, he doesn't deserve reward. He's lost out. All his battle during his lifetime was in vain. It's the credit of heaven, not his own. A person does not get credit unless he works for it. He didn't earn this. It's unearned schat. Then the Gemara says, Hashem will marvel with tzaddikim. Hashem will console tzaddikim and say, don't worry. I also marvel at your greatness. It's not only the act of Hashem, it's the greatness of tzaddikim who were able to overcome this Yetzirah. Because true, that without the help of Hashem, they could not have defeated the Yetzer Hara. However, the Gemara says, whom does Hashem help? When it comes to purify himself, if one attempts, gives his utmost to defeat the Yetzer Hara, then does Hashem help them to be victorious. So Hashem marvels at the efforts of the tzaddikim, how much sacrifice they put into this, and how they ultimately defeated the Yetzer Hara, which means that Hashem will exceed, given to the tzaddikim the rate that they have fully earned the credit, the reward that is due them. In this case, we could see, Abinazal's question was, in order to get to that desirable treasure, what desirable treasure? The only treasure that is really, truly a treasure is one that is eternal, one that's everlasting, which means a heavenly life in Gan Eden. In order to get that Gan Eden, there is no way except to go through to do battle the Melchemes HaYetzer. You must battle the Yetzer Hara. You cannot get to Gan Eden without that battle. It must be by going through this mountain of fire. A person who succeeds to him, a person who really attempts it to him, this is a mountain. A mountain of fire, this Yetzer Hara, the Satan, and to battle this mountain to get through to the other side, how can a person do it? Ben Ezra asked this question, obviously, very sadly. It was the same as a tzaddikim who cried, how can we overcome this mountain? Note that later the Ben Ezra came and left. Hashem said, tzaddikim, stop crying. Dry your tears, because I am with you. I console you with the fact you don't have to cry. You can rejoice that you have fully earned this. Ben Ezra smiled and laughed and said, now it has become known to me the answer to this question. Hashem himself reveals the answer and says, despite the fact that Hashem helps, it's only to those who have strived their utmost and who have fully deserved and earned and merited the reward that is due. Therefore, they smile in happiness. This is the answer to the question of the tzaddikim. And this, of course, teaches us a lesson, too, that these tzaddikim who are great enough to actually defeat this satan, to bring about his demise, his end, imagine the good fortune of those who are rekusha be'emes to these tzaddikim. They can cling to the tzaddikim who will help them in this battle against the Yetzer Hara. We are very tiny in a battle against so gigantic a mountain of fire. What chance do we stand? But where we go behind, attached to the tzaddikim, we are then immune. We become immune to this fire. We can go through this mountain of fire. We can actually reach the other side to this tremendous treasure. We should be zechut to maintain that degree of emunah, the tzaddikim, and thereby be successful with victoriousness. Mm-hmm.